You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, this is the IT and the D Show, episode 268. Guests this week include the entire cast of hashtag Clean Detroit Crew, Anthony, Derek, John, and David. These guys are a blast. We've been hanging out with them for the last hour. Should be a great, great interview. But hey, are you ready for a hands-on workshop that will prepare you for your future in blockchain? Do us a favor. Attend the Blockland Solutions Conference December 1st through the 4th at the Huntington Convention Center. Dave, it's in our favorite town, Cleveland.
Where's it? Wait, what?
It's in Cleveland. And to learn from experts, network with peers, and attend coding workshops, learn more and register at blocklandcleveland.com/podcast. That's blocklandcleveland.com/podcast.
And hit us up for the list of bars you need to hit while you're there.
No, we'll go.
Like we might need to go.
We're going to take everybody to the Viking bar.
Oh, to start.
Yes.
Because that's the good starting point.
I've got a great vegetarian restaurant y'all can hit.
Yeah, no, thanks, Neri.
No, it's
Dave,
really good.
Get Dave, out. You made fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy Spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my boo-boos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to this.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beat off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier from X-Men Evolution. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit on my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerd.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony and Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT and the D.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the Nooch. Listen. Muse Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up?
Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Well, Welcome back. What is up? You are listening to the one and only IT in the D show. This is episode 268, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG, Randy, I do the Twitters, Walker is doing the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, and give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, I think your Facebook account might have been hacked. You should probably...
Randy, shut up.
Shut up, Randy.
So finally, there's a cloud platform built for you and your business. DigitalOcean offers the simplest, most developer-friendly cloud hosting solution. It's optimized to meet your needs and make managing infrastructure easy. Plus, DigitalOcean makes it easy to deploy, manage, and scale applications with an intuitive control panel and API designed for developers. So you can spend more time building great things and less time managing your infrastructure. No wonder DigitalOcean is the preferred cloud platform of hundreds of thousands of innovative companies, including Docker, GitLab, and Slack. Join them along with 150,000 other businesses that are already creating amazing things on DigitalOcean to get the infrastructure services you need to grow, from predictable pricing through flexible configurations to industry-leading customer support. To determine the right plan for your business, visit try.digitalocean.com/businesses. Get started with a free $100 credit toward your first project and experience everything the platform has to offer, like cloud firewalls, real-time monitoring and alerts, global data centers, object storage, and the best support anywhere. Just go to do.co, that's do.co/ITinTheD to claim your credit today. Join DigitalOcean and unlock the power of simplicity.
Do us a favor, mark your calendars. This Thursday, the 11th, we got a podcaster meetup going on at the Detroit Shipping Company down in Midtown. If you have not been there, it is one of the coolest spots to hit Detroit in a very, very long time. 21 shipping containers all welded together, three restaurants, three bars.
Especially right now, the weather is so good, like sitting outside on those picnic tables, drinking a fresh cold beer, listening to music.
I hear there's a podcast studio there, too.
We might have a podcast studio up there. There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on.
The weather turns. It's an indoor-outdoor. Like, such a great thing for Detroit right now.
But if you're a podcaster and want to talk to other podcasters, that's where we're going to be.
Properties of podcasts, yeah.
And then don't forget, on the 18th, same month, we're going to be a Detroit Shipping Company again.
Next Thursday. So this Thursday, it's the podcaster meetup there. Next Thursday, it's the IT and the D meetup.
IT and the D. So the IT folks in and around IT, no cover charge, no speakers, no buttholes, just good conversation and hanging out.
Go figure. Both Podcast Detroit and Information Technology in the Detroit
is in
doing
Detroit.
Events in Detroit.
Huh. Yeah.
What a novel freaking concept.
Crazy. Podcast Detroit's in Royal Oak, stupid. Speaking of stupid, every once in a while, Facebook does me proper and tells me who all my dumb friends are. And this past week and a half, have done me any more proper. So in one of the stupid things, like they said you were going to do the national broadcast, we were going to presidential alert, everyone's going to get a text at 2:18, blah, 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 and then here come the posts. I got a screen. So now everyone knows what everybody's wallpaper is because you got a screenshot.
Screenshot it.
We know we got one too. Then someone, we got a text on the 218. We know everyone on the planet or in the U.S. got one. We know.
I was just sad that the background color for that alert wasn't orange. No.
True story.
But apparently, like at my office, everyone was freaking out because all of a sudden you've got an office floor of like 300 people. Whose phones all of a sudden go off.
Yeah.
Like that had to be an interesting thing to be sitting somewhere around maybe like a crowded restaurant or out in public. That's interesting stuff.
The funniest tweet or Instagram, whatever I saw, is this is a great way to find out where the phones are in prison.
Yeah.
But like here's what's the interesting thing that came out of this. The one thing that to me it was no big deal. It just hit end, just like you know, you do with an Amber Alert and you're like, all right, whatever. John McAfee sent out a pretty cryptic tweet.
It wasn't cryptic at all.
It was either hoaxy or whatever it was.
It was insanely straightforward.
But is it a conspiracy theory or are you buying it?
No, that's absolutely accurate.
He's accurate.
Absolutely.
I read it as conspiracy theory.
Yep.
He's pushing buttons. So basically what he says is now that they've done this, basically the government has access to your E911 chip, which gives you access to your device location and all the things in it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the news source, but someone said that FEMA mentioned to NBC affiliate K5 News that those are not related to E911 functions in any way. that they use cell broadcast technology, and it's a one-way communications protocol. So I don't know. John McAfee's had some pretty crazy shit over the years.
But he's usually right.
But he also like tried to kill the guy next door to him and was like hiding in Honduras.
But I mean, who hasn't?
But also.
So one of the things, one of the first things we shared this week was Domino's is testing.
We're one step closer to your dream, Bob.
No, it's not. And I'm going to explain why in a minute. Domino's is testing self-driving delivery vehicles, right? So no Domino's. I don't want curbside pickup.
Are they calling them Dogo?
Oh, wait, hold on. So this is not your dream because you have to walk your ass from your house
yes.
to the freaking curb.
Yes.
Well, they can't put a drone in the car to bring the pizza from the car to your
then
door.
I don't mind opening the door, but then I got to walk down my stoop and then I got to walk out to the curb.
Not the stoop.
Yeah, I know.
But it's okay. Like, no one's going to see it, right? Because there's not going to be a driver in the car. You're going to punch in your phone number on a tablet, and it's going to pop the pizzas out of a hot oven directly to you. So, like, no stone delivery driver. Like, I don't – this is perfect for me.
I like my stone delivery driver.
Hey. Actually, mine from Hungry Howie's came to my house for my party on Saturday night, and he was totally cool, totally stoned. And I'm like, you should come back for drinks later.
Do you want everyone at your house to have diarrhea? Why would you get Hungry Howie's for everyone?
Also, no – surprise pornos because your pizza delivery driver is not there.
I've got a hot sausage pizza just waiting
somebody
for you.
Somebody wanted the extra sausage? Yeah.
Oops, I forgot my pants. Come on in. I don't know.
I think this is great. They're starting a pilot in the next 5 weeks around Ann Arbor, and the first step is actually going to have an engineer and a human in the car, but it's going to be so darkly tinted you're not going to be able to see it. So they're just testing the viability of whether someone will walk out to their curb.
So it's going
to
be like Christine with the 57 Chevy.
Won't the police pull over the cars for having too deep of a tint?
Oh.
I mean.
I'm sure Domino's is going to call the cops and say, hey, we got these self-driving cars. They can't just send them out in the street.
So if you're a bank robber right now, tint the hell out of your windows and paint your car like a Domino's delivery vehicle. And there you go.
Are they still using Sparks? Because I happen to drive one of
those. It's a Ford Fusion.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. With a custom
oven
in the
back. Which they're not making anymore because we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
And I saw something today about the tariffs and how Ford's going to lay off a bunch of more people because of the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woof. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and one thing that didn't surprise me, but it, you know, kind of angers me a little bit, that a study came out that said over half of the Episode 8 Star Wars hate whatever tweets, posts, was all bots.
I don't believe it. Based on my timeline on Facebook, I don't believe it. Because there were more – like there were just enough people that were butthurt fanboys on my timeline that I don't know that I believe that half of it was troll bots.
And is this study basically saying that a bunch of Russian bot farms controlled by most likely the Russian government
right.
are trying to influence the social discourse of our country by talking shit about a Star Wars movie on Twitter?
You know what bothers me? That, you know, that you can influence anything from a tweet. That's a thing. Like, how did that – whoever read a tweet and go, you know, you're right.
Bumper stickers.
I know that there's people on Reddit that
my opinion has never been changed by a bumper
right.
sticker.
Right. Or a post
a tweet,
on Reddit.
Or a post
or
a on
tweet.
Facebook. No.
But like, there's people that think it's important. We're doing the deed. We gotta make them change their minds, man, and make it say they – like, if I like a goddamn piece of pizza, I'm going to like it. If I see a tweet saying it sucks, I'm still going to like it. Kind of like Nuri's going to still order Hungry Howie's even though it – makes my stomach now feel good.
They were the only ones that delivered to my house at that hour on Saturday night. So,
oh.
Yeah.
What else do you know?
Hashtag Detroit.
Ah. Ah. Hashtag, yeah. Nuri.
What?
So we talk about Uber quite a bit, and I thought it was interesting. So this was another study that came out that said basically half the Uber drivers out there are making less than $10 an hour. After you factor in like vehicle expenses and all that fun, happy hoo-ha.
Well, I always like, hey, what'd you make tonight? I made a lot of money. Well,
what'd you pay in gas?
What'd you pay in gas?
How
right.
about your tires?
Right.
How about this?
Your time.
Change. Yeah, your time. Yeah.
Right.
Like every Uber I'm in is like 150,000 plus miles. And I'm like, how long have you had this car? Oh, I bought it new 3 years ago. Like, I don't think anyone's doing this and like taking into consideration what their vehicle costs and
so,
their insurance costs. And
it's
yeah,
kind of like vaping.
Costs.
The long term effects have not yet been discovered.
Well, here's the numbers broken down. The average wage is $14.73 for people doing Uber on the regular, right? And if you take Ridester's got a low end estimate of $5 an hour for costs, right? So that gets them to $9.73 an hour, right? And that's pre-tax, right, all that stuff. So that implies if a driver works that wage, 40 hours a week, they're going to make $31,000 a year.
But Uber once claimed that you could make $70,000 to $90,000 a year in major markets.
Yeah, if you live in Manhattan, and then you got to.
Even then, the article said that I think they made $21 an hour, which is a far cry from that, which is $42,000 a year.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you just, you know, work 90 hours a week, I mean, you know.
Well, New York City's top of the list at $21.92.
There you go.
Bottom of the list is Raleigh-Durham at $6.62.
So you can work at Bojangles in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, and make more money.
Yeah.
Work at McDonald's.
Yeah. Bojangles is a fast food chicken place in North Carolina.
Chicago's $17. San Antonio's $9. Indianapolis, $9.
Which is still less than what you can make at Starbucks as a barista. But right, at the same point, you get to set your hours. So like for people who have weird jobs or don't want to work a full second job.
Or if you want to take an hour poop break. Yeah, exactly. No,
totally. I can still see the allure of doing that even for such.
Hour? Sometimes.
After you've eaten Hungry Howie's. Bob had Hungry Howie's. No, but like I can still.
They should sponsor the show for crying out loud. How many times we plug them?
They should. All publicity is good publicity, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's play the more people have died from X than Y.
Ooh, I like this game.
So selfie deaths. People questing for the perfect selfie. 259 people.
Oh, you shouldn't have said the number because we're going to go shark deaths.
Oh, no. But
lightning strikes.
Yeah, so you're
death
so
by AR-15. Oh!
So that was, say that out loud? That was 6 years. So that was six. That's over 6 years. So that's roughly 42, 40. Yeah, because, sorry, one AR-15 attack per year, which is about, you know, at least what?
It's more than, yeah. I thought it was 250 per year when I read it.
No. So it's like, what, 43, 44 people per year die trying to get the perfect selfie.
They die! Like, that's insane!
Like, they're hanging off a cliff. They're leaning back off top of a roof.
Do you ever have that moment where you look back and go, holy shit, if I did this, if it was another this much farther, I would have died.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was 15 Grand Canyon, I wanted to take the ultimate picture. So I like kind of ran and did like a Dukes of Hazzard stop with my shoes. And like, I couldn't have been an inch to my farther back. And my cousins were screaming at me to not go any
farther. I'm skeptical, Dave. I don't believe you ran.
Shiza, you never ran.
Some Final Destination shit right there. I'm glad you made it.
And I kind of look back and go,
yeah, that might have been dumb.
Yeah, there's people that actually have fallen off that cliff.
Yeah,
like for that ultimate selfie, so you can get an Instagram like.
Apparently, the most common.
And are you posting it on the way down? I guess that's the cliff.
Apparently, the most common deaths are drowning, transport accidents, and falling, but also death by animals, electrocution, fire, and firearms.
What?
Also appeared in reports from around the world, and the most common related selfie deaths, India, Russia, the United States, and Pakistan.
What is that? I'm going to take a selfie by this lion or this tiger at the zoo, and they take a swipe of your head, and you're dead. But I got that selfie. That's crazy.
Watch me. No, it's probably idiots that are like, watch me sneak into the enclosure to get this selfie.
Or I'm going to hang over by one hand and balance myself on the outside.
Am I still one of the last people that if I go to like Paris next week, and can I just take a picture of the Eiffel Tower? Like, do you really need to see
you
my?
You can during the day, but not at night because the lights are copyrighted.
Shut up, Randy. I'm trying to tell a story.
Yes.
No, but like, do you need to see my head in that picture to believe I'm there? Like, it's isn't that the way we used to take pictures? Like,
you just took a picture,
right?
Picture it didn't happen,
but I took it. Like, but then I could take Getty Images and
Google Image Search.
God bless it. Like, you gotta
pay no attention.
I don't want my head and everything. Like, I just want to take a picture of stuff.
We don't want your head.
I know you don't. That's why I don't want to do it. But speaking of stupid stuff for social media, Neri, you sent this one out this week. It's kind of creepy what China's doing. And here's my take. We always talk about...
We've talked about this. Well,
here's what I talk about, like, when movies testing stuff out to see if society will accept it. Because they're coming out with way too many Purge movies right now and Purge series.
Minority Report. We're there.
Right. But if you notice, there's a Purge series. The first Purge just came out, I just rented. Like, they're going to test that shit out.
I
want to
see it. Isn't it good?
It's good for...
That was the test of the presidential alert system. We're all just waiting for the execute order 66
Purge, to come out. Yeah, exactly. But, like, with what happened with the Seth MacFarlane Star Trek show and with Black Mirror. China's testing social scores.
Social credit.
Social credit for how you act in public.
This is interesting because China doesn't have a typical credit-based system like we do, right? We have credit cards. We are mostly a cashless society. China's the exact inverse. China is completely a cash society. And so how do you establish creditworthiness for people?
Well, South America's the same too. I think like isn't a credit card interest rate in Brazil like 250% or something?
Never owned a credit card in Brazil, Bob.
Well, I'm just saying.
Me either.
Right.
But the interesting thing about this is that there are 200
You're not a member of the Lake Titicaca Credit Union?
No, the Motorboat Club.
Oh, shout out to Perrette, who's currently in Peru right
now. She is.
Yeah. But either way, there's 200 million CCTV cameras deployed across China. So what they were talking about is this woman who's throughout her daily life, if you go to the grocery store and put too much alcohol in your cart, that may suggest dependence. So they're going to ding your social credit. But if you put diapers in your cart, you may get a couple extra points because you're responsible. And like,
so can you bury your alcohol in diapers?
No, because they say you put the alcohol
in
the cart.
Put it in your cart. And it's real.
What if
time?
You're just having a party? Well, what if Bob's coming over?
But like, so what if you talk shit about the government? And or what if your family talks shit about the government? And there's basically nowhere to hide. And if your score dips too low, you can't travel. You don't get good stuff at hotels. Your kids can't go to good schools.
Black Mirror, hi.
It's absolutely freaking creepy. It's a digital dictatorship. And I
does that? It's not like the people at home, like on the Seth MacFarlane. What the hell was the name of that show?
Black
the
Mirror.
Orville.
Orville. Thank you, Rainey. It wasn't like the Orville where like people watched it at home and like upvote, downvote. Like this is like a panel of like.
No. This is automated surveillance.
Oh.
Completely automated surveillance.
Like AI?
Yeah. So the cameras
welcome
have
to Skynet.
Facial recognition, body scanning, and geo-tracking. So they basically know who you are, what you're doing, and where you're at. Like, it's
now, what happens if you go out in like a scream mask and a cloak?
Well, they'll see you put the mask on, so they'll know.
In your house?
Not in your house. Yeah. Maybe. Not
they'll
yet.
See you leave
Maybe.
The house with your mask on, though.
Oh.
They see like even like the woman was talking about marrying somebody with a higher credit score just to ensure her kids would get into good schools.
Good God.
It's absolutely dystopian future. It's now.
If your friends have a low score, that'll lower your score.
Yeah. Who you hang out with. If you jaywalk, your score goes down. Like it's
good thing they don't have that here. I'd be screwed with you people.
I'd be your one high-performing friend. It's okay.
You would be my one. No, because
No.
Nuri ordered Hungry Howie's at 11:30 at night. What the hell?
And then two delivery vans from 8 Mile.
Let's just hope that doesn't come here.
You know, we got the news last week. We were talking about it that they're cutting back on Star Wars movies and whether or not it's a rumor or not. But the new the John Favreau live
John Favreau,
who was a voice in Solo, by the way, the little Munchkin thing that died. That kind of like John Favreau. Enough, we get it. You're cool. You're an Iron Man. Like you produced like Elf. Like we get it.
What do you have photos of?
We get. He did Swingers. That was how he got his start.
I was gonna say, who do you have?
He
photos
was broke. Of? I know. I don't know. It's but he's doing a live action and it's called. And here's the funny thing. We talk about the trolls online. It's called The Mandalorian.
Yep.
And everybody's bitching that, you know, Boba Fett or Jango Fett wasn't a real Mandalorian. So this is going to be a bullshit show because it's going to be like Boba Fett armor.
So,
but it's like not.
Well, so, but here's the thing. And this news actually.
And no one was just happy that we're going to get a goddamn Star Wars live action series.
Well, and this dude, just talking about the butthurt fanboys. So this, like this news just broke today. Ray Park, you know, Darth Maul. And he was also in the last movie. Told the 501st to go screw themselves.
Oh, good.
Like he was a member and very publicly broke from them and said, I am no longer affiliated with them. KMA, GFY.
What could they have possibly have done to make him? Because he's like the most fan interactive. He's like the coolest guy at cons.
Hey, dude, he's phenomenal. Well, apparently they went too far and started like trashing on episode 8 and trashing on Solo and trashing on and he same thing. He was like, you're a bunch of butthurt fanboy, like elitist butthurt fanboys. I'm out. I want nothing
if
to do with you.
If they keep trashing on it, they'll be out of gigs.
So here's what's funny. My 77-year-old father hated The Last Jedi, told me it was the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen. Loved Solo. We watched it the other night.
Yeah. Oh, we like, loved about it. Yeah.
And he goes, oh, this was great. I go, yeah, because it's an old Western. It's like Maz John Wayne movies.
It's episode 4.
Right, totally.
Yeah, it's a spaghetti Western in space.
Right. Yeah.
Why does it have to be called The Mandalorian? Why can't it be called The Womandalorian?
Oh, shut up.
Why can't it just be the DeLorean?
You almost said, shut up, Randy.
I almost did.
And it's the Back to the Future Star Wars crossover.
Oh, you're the worst. That's the worst.
DeLorean. That's what we need.
That's the worst. The so best. then Indiana Jones finds Han Solo and Chewbacca's Bigfoot.
Exactly.
And will someone make that movie, please?
I know where they can find a script.
Yeah, it's in a comic book. Yeah. Goof.
So one of the craziest stories I saw this week was about the servers that have been shipped from China.
Yeah.
That have been hardware infiltrated from the beginning.
With a microchip no bigger than a grain of rice.
Who would have thought that would have happened? God, I've been saying this for 20 years. When you outsource all your manufacturing to a place that you can basically steal everything, you're going to get companies like Huawei making Cisco servers. You're going to get chips infiltrating information. And, oh, no, we're just going to get cheap shit. This is what happens.
And this is really interesting because Bloomberg did an exhaustive research into this.
Mm-hmm.
They had all kinds of sources, all kinds of documentation, basically saying that over 30 companies had been infiltrated by these servers. Apple, Amazon, like some of the biggest names in computing. And basically this tiny little microchip, all its job was to modify the operating system that was running on the server
mm-hmm.
and allow it to take additional codes. So basically saying, oh, there's a login prompt here. Never mind. There is no login prompt.
Right. This
Dude,
is not
Nuri,
the prompt.
Nuri, these servers were found in the DOD data centers,
yep.
CIA drone ops, onboard networks of Navy warships, and like, and such and such and such and such.
And there have been categorical denials by all these companies today.
Yeah,
so
that's weird. Apple and Amazon, the big two named, say that they have not used this hardware.
Even though there are reports of them pulling out all of those servers over a course of 7 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then the Department of Homeland Security today said that this was not a true thing. But
yeah, and they say they have no reason not to believe Apple.
There's
because
a,
Apple
yeah,
sent a letter to Congress.
Yeah, and we landed on the moon, right? Like, I'm going to believe everything I hear from the government.
Well, I mean, if Apple is lying about this.
This was a good segment that you said that. Damn
I'm
it.
Just kidding.
They can face penalties from the SEC for lying because this would definitely affect their stock.
Absolutely.
So
be a nightmare.
So denying it. And it's true, does them no good. If it's true, it does them no good. So
it's ridiculous.
Weird.
And it's super effing scary that a tiny little chip like that, mm-hmm. that it looked like something else, right? It doesn't look like a microchip.
Nope.
Doesn't look like memory. It's basically a tiny little piece of thing that you think
is
a
little onboard thing that's there.
A coupler or something where like, oh my God.
Hey, it could be worse. You could be trying to install the latest Windows 10 update. which apparently Microsoft had to pull because it was deleting your photos, your documents, entire folder structures off people's systems as soon as they tried to install it.
Yeah, and it's even better. Like the salt in the wound of that is that there was a little loading screen that said all your files are exactly where you left them.
Initial reports were that this was just affecting Mac users who were installing Windows via boot camp, but then people who were on actual PCs were reporting it too. So that's when Microsoft started pulling it.
Oops. Well, it's just Mac users.
Even more interesting is that Microsoft has laid off many of its dedicated testers and has not replaced those testings with other testings.
Mm.
And then it did not get rolled out to the same kind of release ring group.
Right.
So basically this was a fairly untested
just
update.
A fail
all
the way around.
So maybe people can restore their files from an earlier backup, I hope.
Because
everybody keeps good backups.
Right. That's the issue. Like there's no – yeah, unless you have an undelete utility or – a backup before you got started, you're screwed.
People are having good luck with Recuva, R-E-C-U-V-A. So if you've installed Windows 10 and you lost files, check out Recuva, R-E-C-U-V-A. Don't install it.
Boston.
Boston.
Recuva, your file.
It's from the same company that wrote CCleaner.
Oh, cool. Piriform.
Yeah. So try that. Don't install it on the main drive because there's a good chance you'll overwrite files you're trying to recover. Install it on a flash drive or something and run it from the flash drive. But there have been reports that Recuva is recovering the files.
Legitimate tech help with Randy Walker. But speaking of Microsoft.
We're going to put him on segment 4 of Internet Advisor next week.
So speaking of Microsoft, my granddad called me this weekend and was like, Nuri, I keep getting these guys calling me from Microsoft that says that if I don't call them back within 24 hours, they're going to shut me off. He's like, but guess what? It's been 48 hours and I haven't called them back and they haven't shut me off.
Now, did your grandfather also tell you things like, I ain't using my turn signal. It ain't nobody's business where I'm going.
My granddad lives in Florida, not Michigan. So my granddad knows how to use his turn signal. But so And it's even worse that they're getting more tricky about it. We already know that they use local exchanges, yep, so that you think you're going to pick up the phone. But apparently they were spoofing my granddad's cell phone number while calling their house. So my grandmother picked it up thinking it was my granddad. And it's like, hello, this is Microsoft support. Like, they're getting really, really good.
Jeez. At this.
No, this is terrible.
Dude.
But apparently in India this week, 24 people were arrested.
In New Delhi, yeah.
For one of these schemes. And it was like 8 or 9 call centers that this was running out of, like dozens of agents, all the kind of call recordings, dialers, tech support training materials, transcripts, payment gateway records, and servers seized from here. So 24 people. But I'm sure that's just a drop in the bucket because
it is.
Very common scam.
I mean, I went down a wormhole of watching scammers getting scammed. And then a guy called from Microsoft and basically he let him take over. It's basically a honeypot. And in his laptop, it said, my bank information. And like he had like 2 apps.
Oh, God.
So basically the guy pulled it and it was basically put malware on the guy's machine.
Nice.
So then right at that, he basically did a network scan, found there was 38 PCs or all assers. Acers or whatever the hell you're
Acer.
I don't know what the hell the name of the company is. And basically,
it's not Acer.
It's Acer. It's Acer in my world. And he basically deleted all of them while the guys sit there going like, what did you do to my computer?
Nothing.
Deleted everything.
You should call Microsoft tech support, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They'll find it for you.
Hey, so Bob, I know how much you love donuts.
Oh my God. I love this place.
You ever bought donuts at the Holy Moly donut shop?
Yeah, yeah, never buy donuts. Effing dollars a piece at Dempf this year.
It's so expensive, but delicious.
Go figure.
I'd go to Dutch Girl. Why you go to Holy Moly?
Donut shop on 8 Mile.
You can customize them at Holy Moly.
I don't care.
Donut shop on 8 Mile. Shut down for running a weed ring.
No! Get out of town!
I feel like they're trying to control both supply and demand.
I mean, it's right next door to a dispensary.
Which was also theirs. That was the front.
Why don't the dispensaries just get it over with and A, either sell donuts or sell Girl Scout cookies and just be done with it. Quit the charade.
Dude, speaking of which, so we're at the Lions game. I'm totally going to segue for a sec. So we're at the Lions game yesterday. You know, the whole tailgate thing and all that fun happy hoo-ha. Parents, do not. Listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. Do not bring your freaking children to tailgating spots trying to sell Girl Scout cookies, candy bars, or any of that shit. Why? Because we're all drunk and we have no patience, no tolerance, no anything for any of that nonsense. You're a horrible parent. You failed at life. Do not.
You might not recover your kids.
Exactly. We might give them like a Bloody Mary and a puppy.
The words and opinions of David Phillips are reflective of Podcast Detroit and Bob Waltonspiel. Yeah, that I'll stamp that. I would never do that. I've got 3 kids. There's no way I would ever do that to any of my children. I would put them in front of a dispensary, not the tailgate. No. But you know what I'd never do else to my house? Buy a Facebook portal.
No.
You can eat the corn out of my butthole if you think I'm going to put one of those things in my house.
Says the guy with an Alexa.
Yeah, it's fine.
And every other gadget.
It's fine. You can hear everything. Listen to Food Network all day playing in my house and my kids screaming and me asking for Funyuns. I don't care.
But it has a shutter. You can slide over the camera.
Stop. So if you don't know what Portal is, Facebook just announced this, what, today or yesterday?
Today.
It's basically Facebook Messenger in a tablet to put in your kitchen or living room, so you can have Jetson's video calls on via Facebook Messenger whenever you want.
Isn't that like an iPad on a stand?
It's pretty much iPad, because FaceTime.
Your phone does that.
Yeah.
And I've never done it on my phone.
But you need a device,
I guess,
from them
for $300.
For $300, sure. Because
there's a cheaper version at $200.
Phenomenal. But social media, thank God. Let's all have a moment of silence. Google Plus is finally freaking dying.
I thought it was already dead.
Well, it practically has been.
That's like finding out Abe Vigoda died. Like, shit, I thought he died 10 years ago.
He's still alive.
He's not still alive.
Abe Vigoda is still
alive.
He totally is.
It's bullshit.
Now, the interesting thing about this was, though, that I guess there were 500,000 profiles that were marked as private.
Yep.
That through an API, you could retrieve full name, birth date, gender, profile picture. There was like 5 or 6 different things you could pull through the API. And the news story reported that it was because Google didn't want the publicity that they didn't talk about it. Was that?
They didn't want negative publicity, and they didn't want a government to look into it.
Sorry, he did finally die in 2016.
Ah, see, I knew it.
Yeah.
So they're calling this a data breach. I'm not sure how big of a breach this is. I mean, no payment card details, no social security numbers. Like, this is pretty basic from a breach perspective.
Well, didn't Zuckerberg have to talk to Congress for a lot less?
Well, so did Twitter. Like, it's been a bad year for all those companies.
Right.
Well, yeah. It should have been dead ages ago.
Who's logged into their Google Plus in the last...
All 10 people are super pissed off that they're killing it.
Apparently, the average time people spent logged into Google Plus or using Google Plus is 5 seconds.
Or less, yeah. That was amazing.
Now, my favorite story this
week... It's about as much as Friendster this week.
No. Yeah.
So my favorite story this week is out of Ohio.
Love this.
Where, you know, you can buy a lot of things with food stamps, like cheese and bread and
lobster
milk.
And alcohol and...
Well, what about carfentanil, cocaine, heroin, and lap dances?
Lap dances? Tell me more.
Go on.
So apparently there was this strip club in Ohio where over the course of 5 months, they exchanged $2,500 in food stamps to buy all kinds of crazy illicit drugs, meth, and lap dances. Kind of nuts, right?
I love that they ran a sting operation for over 5 months trying to track this down.
I need to see Carly again.
Right. Lap dances for like – because you couldn't bust them after the first time you saw it happen. You had to do it for 5 months.
Lap dances for like 2 hours and she's like, that'll be $200. And like, here's 300 in food stamps. She's like, that's cool. Like, what kind of place is this? Like,
I mean, it's Ohio.
It's Ohio.
I don't care. It seems ridiculous.
And not Cleveland, because Cleveland is awesome.
Cleveland's amazing. Yes. We absolutely love it.
It's definitely not in Cleveland.
I'm paying government cheese next week. Like, what?
44 charges, drug possession, drug sales, sexual activity, food stamps, and trafficking and solicitation.
The place was called Sharky's.
Oh, sounds like a classy joint.
Yeah.
I got so many jokes about it I can't say right now.
I'm taking my food stamps and going. Okay.
Speaking of food stamps, you can't buy an Eero with one of those, Nuri.
No, because the single router Wi-Fi model just doesn't work for our increasingly high bandwidth world. What you need is a distributed system, Eero. Whatever your Wi-Fi needs, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your home in fast, reliable Wi-Fi via Ethernet, wireless, or any combination. Simply set it on a flat surface or plug it into a wall outlet to expand coverage into any room. Not to mention, with the addition of a third 5 GHz radio, the second generation Eero is now tri-band and twice as fast as its predecessor, which lets customers do more in every room of their home simultaneously. And with the addition of a new Thread radio, Eero can now connect to low-power devices such as locks, doorbells, and other sensors. Meanwhile, Eero Beacon is half the size, but even more powerful than the original Eero. Whichever model you choose, with Eero's incredible customer support, you can call and get a hold of a Wi-Fi expert within 30 seconds. Let me tell you, buying an Eero was probably the best thing that happened to wireless in my house.
Likewise.
I've got a big house, and I had three of the super high-end Nightgear Nethawks, which were like $400 a piece. And I tried to like jerry-rig some kind of crazy mesh networking, and no matter what, it just did not work right. Since I've had my Eeros, I've never had to unplug them. I've never had to reset them.
Nope, not once. I have a three-story house. I have one on every floor, three kids, and me, super user. Flawless, absolutely stinking flawless.
Well, I don't know if you just got the same update I did. Like, you just had a whole like, "Hey, system update, yada yada."
What did it do? I didn't see.
Dude, it actually, I didn't think it was. It made things better in the house. Like, I was just sitting around streaming stuff. It just seems like it's better. I don't get it.
No, we appreciate the support, but these things are really actually super awesome.
Yeah,
they're incredible. So for free overnight shipping to the U.S. or Canada, visit Eero.com, select overnight as the shipping option, and enter IT in the D at checkout. That's Eero.com, offer code IT in the D at checkout.
Speaking of free shipping, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the team from Clean Detroit. This is the IT in the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is the IT in the D show, episode 268, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob, the sales guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG, Randy, I do the Twitter's Walker. Find us online at itinthed.com because we are IT in the D.
And you're still not.
If do us a favor, if you're listening live, we did a really cool interview for Channel 7 on Podcast Detroit in the Studios with Anu Prakash. It's going to be airing tomorrow at like 6 o'clock. We'll probably Tuesday share it at
6 p.m. Yeah,
yeah. I'm sure we'll get the YouTube and we'll share it and all that good stuff. But that was we're just going to do a quick interview for you. So I'm thinking we're going to be out in 2 minutes.
2 hours later.
2 hours later. We're still hanging out.
Feeding her pad Thai rolls.
Yeah, I know, right? She wants to go to the bar with us. We're like, Jesus Christ, where's this going? But it was a lot of fun. Channel 7's awesome. Like, they were.
They spent a lot of time with us down at the Detroit Shipping Company. I mean, that's
after
that's
TEDx.
If
you
haven't watched the TEDx Detroit video yet, you should.
Jennifer Ann Wilson.
Just to mock us.
I haven't watched it yet.
Really?
I'm scared.
You should. It's funny.
Is it?
Especially when I tell you to shut up.
I deserved it. No, let's go for 20 minutes, Dave. I don't care if we're 7 over.
Hey, they didn't tell us it wasn't 7 minutes each.
The hook didn't come out. The music didn't swell, and you guys were fine.
All right, life was good. Hey, before we dive in, though, today's episode is sponsored by Lenovo for Business. Like anyone in IT knows, your job isn't easy. From managing users and use cases to testing out new products, software, hardware, and more, there's no end to optimizing your office. But you didn't choose this field because it's easy. You chose IT because you make smart, smarter, fast, faster, and good, great. Because you solve problems, you troubleshoot, and you never take no for an answer. You do what you do to make a difference. And while you're making a difference, Lenovo wants to help make a difference for you by providing innovative technology, services, and support solutions. Take Lenovo's new ThinkPad P1, the ultimate mobile workstation. Or services like Lenovo's DAAS and SAAS for as a service.
I'm drinking beer as a service right now.
I feel like we're trying to name a brewery that programs with their flexible financial options, a suite of data center solutions, premier support, and customized business shopping. There's no end to what you can accomplish. Because when it comes to IT, Lenovo is dedicated to offering solutions that make a difference for you and your company. To learn more about how Lenovo can make a difference for you, visit Lenovo.com/SMB. That's Sam Mary Bravo. That's Lenovo.com/SMB. Lenovo, making a difference for those making a difference.
Yeah.
Speaking of making a difference, we have the entire entourage crew in here from Clean Detroit.
I feel like they have no office staff at all.
And which one's
they're
Turtle?
All here.
Which one's Turtle? Vinny,
he stole my bit. I was a Vinny Chase. Johnny Drama's here. Gentlemen, what's going on? How we doing?
What's up, guys?
Good, good. Thank you for having us.
Who do we talk to? You got to ask a question. You got four answers.
Everyone at once. Now Johnny. Johnny's going to start.
I'm just being funny.
I'll be one of the guys.
The Amish looking guy is
going to be funny.
Hey, I said I'm like an Amish turned hipster, man. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of both. You know what I mean?
I don't understand the difference.
I went on Rumspringer and I bought a flannel. You know what I mean?
So we met these guys at the TEDx after party. Seemed like a load of fun. Sounded like they were doing something cool. So I'm like, yeah, come on the show. So I guess talk to me about, hashtag Clean Detroit. You guys are all wearing the purple shirts. What's going on?
Yeah, we all have purple polos on today looking nice. No, we're an organization that's basically, in short, we're aimed at setting up events in collaborating with other organizations to put on events to clean up and better the community.
So you're kind of like what Domino's is doing. The government can't fix potholes, so you're going ahead and fixing the potholes.
Exactly.
So how did you guys get started? What was like the brainchild behind this? We're just sitting around one day like, we need this, or how did you all find each other and get started?
You know, I think David can touch on this first, actually.
Yeah, that was actually me. I was driving to work one day, and I just glanced at the side of the road, and I seen a VHS tape that was all unraveled up and down the side of the road. And, you know, there was a mom walking her kid, people riding their bikes, you know, and I drove by that same street for about 3 weeks before I actually got out of the way and picked it all up. You know, nobody was doing anything about it. Everybody pretty much waits for other people to do it.
The tumbleweave was just laying there.
You know, and I think it's a problem that everybody sees. Everybody knows that there's a litter problem, and I don't think that anybody's really doing anything about it. You know, and that's how I pitched it to these guys. I just kind of said it's an issue that if if anybody's going to do it, why not we?
So did you guys know each other before, or was this some kind of – did you reach out and find people that you wanted to be involved to?
You know, we knew each other, but I think it was our individual backgrounds that actually brought us all together. You know, I actually work in the waste industry for my day job, you know, and we have a –
like. So you're in the mob.
Yeah,
I work in towing and recovery,
waste management.
I clean up,
right? So it almost goes hand in hand, you know. And I think each one of us here actually has their own, you know, individual backgrounds. And I think when we put it all together, I think it works out. I think, especially once we get on and get together. It really does. It works out.
So talk to me about some projects. I mean, you guys, this is like, you know. You guys could do 100,000 probably different things. How do you pick and choose what gets done? What are you doing?
Well, we actually, you know, sometimes we'll split up into groups of two. We go out and we just kind of canvass the area, you know, where we basically started out of Metro Detroit area. A lot of us are based out of like Westland, Garden City. So we did a lot of work in Hines. We had a couple events out there. And we're branching our way out into the Detroit area, you know, focusing on cleaning up parks, alleyways, parking lots, you know, basically where people congregate. Just, you know, Detroit's on its rebound in my eyes, you know. I think that's what it needs.
I feel like trash is one of those weird things. It's kind of like graffiti, that when you see an area that's trashed, it collects more trash. When you have one house in the neighborhood that's got graffiti on it, you'll have more if you don't clean it up.
True.
Right. So it's one of those things that kind of attracts more of it. So how many people are involved in these cleanup efforts? Like, do you go out there and have an action day on the weekend where everyone just hits it? Or how do you do this and how do you organize it?
Well, I mean, a lot of our organization is based off social media. You know, we plan and we promote our event through Facebook, through Twitter.
We also have a website also, www.cleandetroit.org.
Right, where you can go and you can sign up for a newsletter where every event that we post, every kind of update that we have, we email everybody out individually. And that gets us our volunteer base. And so far we've had a pretty good turnout. I'd say we get about maybe 30, 40 people, you know, and we all just kind of sweep the area.
Now, are you guys collabing with, like, we've had Tom Nardone on, does the motor mower
gang. Just going to bring him up, yep.
Yeah, and then we've, I know, like, Motor City Blight Busters, things like that. Are you collabing to try to kind of create your own Voltron, or are you just kind of rogue still?
You know, as of now, I think we're still trying to get our name out there. Mm. I think we're open to collaborations. I think, you know, a lot of our past events have been through just municipals, cities. We get together with people that volunteer in their own community already. And, you know, that's something that we'd be open to. That's something that we'd handle in a case-by-case scenario.
I know Tom's been on, what, like, Anthony Bourdain had him on, like,
CNN.
Husqvarna's put it, like, they're giving them free stuff. So, I mean, yeah, you guys be loud, man. You know, because there's, you know, we always hear about this stuff all the time, people driving around. It's like a pile of mattresses, like, in the middle of the street. Like, what the hell's going on?
Yep.
You know.
And that's something that's what we aim to do. You know, and I think once we get our name out there, which this is helping, you know, I definitely see us doing something like that in the future.
God, think about how crazy we always talk about the stupid press releases. Like, they cleaned up a lot. Like, yay. Like, the city's supposed to be doing this.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, that's the thing that always drove us nuts was like, we're replacing light bulbs. Like, well, no shit, you're supposed to. you know, it's one of those things where, you know, yeah, you guys are. I love what you guys are doing.
It's unfortunate you have.
It's unfortunate you have to do it.
Yeah, definitely. That's what we kind of said too. Like, we're gonna all come out missing one day because we're doing
It's actually unbelievable the amount of bureaucracy we've had to deal with.
Bureaucracy?
Yeah, beer.
Right, right.
Yeah,
all the empty bottles.
Yeah. Right, right.
We don't want the government to get offended by us doing some of the job for
do
them.
Do they?
This is...
They've wanted permission. We've had to get permission to simply clean up alleyways.
What the hell? So like, you are doing their job for them as volunteers, well, and
they don't want a few gentlemen wearing these purple polos in their alleyways.
We'll see the community... The community service van is driving by slowly, scoping us out while we're doing our job, and you know,
it makes them look bad, you know.
Have the police drop?
They're not doing it.
Can I imagine if someone came in my lot and like cleaned up
and started mowing your yard?
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be like, thanks, buddy. Let me have you a beer real quick.
Hey, here's $20. Thanks.
I think it's next weekend for some guy to do this.
So clean obviously is in our name. But we're not stuck towards, you know, only cleaning. You know, we want to do other community events and get involved. You know, like you said, any organizations, you know, that would be interested in collaborating with us, you know, that would be something we would definitely look into.
Yeah.
So
we want to we'd like to influence our generation and the next generation to get out and, you know, it's about cleaning, obviously, but it's about forming bonds and just coming out and
being involved
and feeling that sense of community again. And
well, there's a huge cost to like demolishing homes. I don't know what the number is, but it's more than the houses are worth. And it's like, you know, if anyone could get
and then all the cleanup, because a lot of the houses have asbestos and nonsense. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, if you get your arms wrapped around that, I mean, we're kind of overshooting what you guys are doing. But I mean, you look at all the problems that are, you know, you make a right turn at any major intersection in Detroit, you're going to find something.
Exactly. Yeah, like I get off on 6 Mile to go to my house, and that whole intersection sucks. I go down 6 Mile, it sucks all the way, basically, until I get past the 12th Precinct right there where I live at the corner of Woodward and 6.
Yeah.
Like that whole neighborhood is just like, and there's just dozens and dozens of neighborhoods like this all through Detroit.
Well, dude, you know, don't go towards Cass. Go a block the other way from the shipping container spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we want to take Cass head on, you know, and that's seriously like the idea is just getting out and getting anywhere. Once we get a bigger following, obviously, like David said, we're taking suggestions and kind of where's the worst, most dirtiest place that you can think of. And we want to be there and we want to help out and we want to clean and make it a safer place and everything like that. So
you make it slow roll, but they're pulling garbage trailers. Then they stop and pick up stuff. So then I'd be happy.
But they don't stop at red lights.
I know.
Why would they stop and pick up stuff?
Yeah. Then they tear up a bar and then they go to the next place.
So what's your next cleanup? Where can we get involved if we wanted to be at the next one you're doing?
So we'll be at Palmer Park.
Which is in my neighborhood.
Yep, right there.
Hey, there you are. There you go.
Right by Woodward Ave. And that'd be the 28th of this month, a Sunday. We're going to be there at noon. And we're actually going to...
Yeah, so this is awesome.
We're actually, like, the founders, we're going to be dressed up in Halloween costumes for a Halloween theme. And
we're encouraging everyone who comes out.
You guys are going
to
get shot.
Exactly. And we want people to be like, who the hell are these guys? Come over there and ask us about it. And just, you know, we think that'd be really cool. And we're going to bring a bunch of candy and stuff. Just...
So I could eat the wrappers and then throw them back on the ground.
Exactly.
Right.
We're
trying with the cigarettes you're smoking.
Yeah. We're trying to test the people that come out to support us, but no.
Now, if I'm coming out, what do I bring? Do I need to bring cleaning supplies or gloves or
nothing? No, we'll just dress comfortably. We will be supplying garbage bags. We'll be supplying gloves. We'll be supplying, brooms and dustpans and everything. So.
I will post this in my neighborhood next door. We've got a really good next door community in the University District, and I'll throw out the event. So just noon.
Yeah, we love that.
Where in Palmer Park?
The
fountain or?
The area where they're making that garden, the fountain,
cool.
The basketball court and everything.
Yeah, I think there's a splash pad over there as well.
Yeah.
So, nice.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
So, yep. And these, we're targeting, you know, it's going to start getting cold out, so. We might be doing, like Johnny said, we're not just strictly cleaning. Any type of collaboration we can do to help out any of the communities, we will do, especially once it starts getting colder out. And we're targeting like one event a month. So,
yeah, reach out to us. If any other groups or organizations are listening and you guys have an event, reach out to us. We'd love to come to your guys' events as well.
Yes.
Well, I'm just, you know, thinking through. I mean, like, you know, the conversation when Tom was in, you know, they've got to go through wherever they're going to mow and look for bottles, cans, all that other nonsense. So they're not driving their mowers over it.
Tom, we would love to be there, man. We are #CleanDetroit clean Detroit.
Reach out.
I'll shoot him.
We'll send an email. Message, yeah.
You guys are both doing
a little
cool
bit
stuff.
Easier.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah. We'll bridge that intro.
Yeah, definitely.
You got anything scheduled after that? Or is it that one's it?
We wanted to do a campaign on cigarette butts. So, cigarette butts are the number one most littered item out there, and everywhere you go, you look down, you go outside right now, I'm sure you go to the sidewalk out by the main road because your guys' property is beautiful. Just so you know, no.
Actually, tobacco products comprise of 38% of all U.S. roadway litter.
Yeah.
I had to walk when my Cadillac ran out of gas, and I had to walk from in between Crooks and Rochester to Rochester.
Yeah.
And I started counting Whippets canisters, the small ones.
Oh, Lord.
And there was a Blackberry Brandy, I remember. The small bottles. I was in the 90s on the Whippets, in the 120s, I believe, on the Blackberry. People just whip it out the window when they get on the on-ramp on the M59. Yeah. It's absolutely dry. And that's in Rochester Hills, for crying out loud. You know,
good and numbed up, out the window.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I can't imagine all the, you know.
Blackberry Brandy sounds delicious.
It's Polish Jasienówka. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We'd like to go out and fill up clear garbage bags with just cigarette butts and just kind of spread that awareness of, you know, how just give people that visual of how bad it is. And, you know, those things don't.
People think they go away. They don't.
Birds aren't eating cigarette butts. Like, they're not going into the earth. They're just sitting
there. They're not
there.
Made out of cotton.
Yeah.
Made out of plastic.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm reading a facts sheet here, and apparently there are 4.5 trillion cigarette butts littered worldwide every year.
He said trillion, folks.
With a T.
Trillion. Yep. Trillion. And
it's like the national debt. Which one's higher?
Yeah.
Which one's getting higher right now? I
don't know. Which one do we – oh, we care about it now. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, that's kind of the next step after the Halloween cleanup.
Another thing we're looking to do, too, is we're going to ask people to reach out for anyone who's maybe disabled or elderly who might need help with fall cleanup. We're going to kind of pick and choose, because obviously we can't go around picking up thousands of people's
leaves.
Right. But we want to help out a little bit with that, too. So if you're listening again and you know anyone who could use some help, throw it out there to us.
Awesome. We love what you guys are doing. CleanDetroit.org. Probably Nero will probably see us Sunday, or if not, his neighbors will. But keep in touch with us. Let us know what we can do, and we'll get you hooked up with Tom and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, we're going to wrap things up with this episode 268 here for the IT and the D Show. I'd like to thank the crew here from Clean Detroit, Anthony, Derek, John, and David. Also like to thank our sponsors, the Cleveland Visitors Bureau, DigitalOcean, Eero, and Lenovo. Thank you for keeping the lights on. On behalf of Bob and Dave and Nuri and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you soon. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the trees. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.